Appreciate that. Good song. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, if you would, tonight. Go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 1 in your Bibles tonight. Boy, it's good to be able to open the Bible and hear the Bible. Amen. And we need more of the Bible in our world today. We need more of the Bible in our homes today. We need more of the Bible in our country. And I can tell you, we certainly need a lot of the Bible back in the White House today.
Amen.
Amen. We need more of the Word of God everywhere. They're eliminating it. They're moving it out. It's old. It's archaic. It doesn't do anything anymore. Really? Really? I'm telling you what, He's still alive in my heart.
Amen.
He hadn't left me. In fact, like the old preacher used to say, He just gets gooder and gooder every day.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for that. Boy, we need the Word of God. My grandmother had a little plaque hanging up by her little desk that she had. And it said, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. W-E-A-K.
Right.
Amen. Right. Well, she was right about that, wasn't she?
Amen.
You try going without prayer 7 days, you'll be weak too.
Right. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So we need the Word of God back in us. We need to be persuaded, like that song said, persuaded that God can do great things in our heart.
Amen.
And I want to preach along that lines tonight. I want to preach on a verse in this passage of Scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So follow along tonight, please, as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse number 1. And notice what the Bible says here. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, and to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end. Did you see it? Did you hear that? He will confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 is my text tonight. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray tonight. God, tonight we come to you asking you for, Lord, your blessings and your power tonight. Lord Jesus, we need you more than ever. We need you to speak to our hearts. It's not something I can do, Lord, but I want to be the vessel to which you can speak. So, Lord, I pray tonight you'd open our hearts. Thank you for the truth, the principle tonight that, Lord, you gave me that I want to give to my people tonight. And I pray tonight we take the truths of the Word of God, penetrate our heart and our mind for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take that phrase out. Verse 9, notice what it says. God is faithful. God is faithful. Now, can I tell you, we live in a world that does not know how faithful God is. We live in a world. And we also live around us people who know Christ but have never yet found out how faithful God really is. And the Bible teaches us and reminds us in this passage and other passages that we're going to look at tonight that God is a faithful God. You know what's funny about humanity, and you know the difference between us and God, is that I may wake up tomorrow and not feel too faithful. Anybody else that way? Yeah, now don't lie to me. I'm a preacher, okay? We all feel that way sometimes. We all feel sometimes like we're not. You know, every moment, every ticking clock moment, every second, every hour of every day of every week of every year, God stands faithful.
Amen.
Nothing shakes the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. You cannot shake God. Humans, we get shaken.
Right.
We get up and down. We move with the wind sometimes. And we shouldn't. We should stick right there and let God be our example of faithfulness. But whether we do or not, He is still faithful. He's not going to quit on you. He is not going to stop. He is always faithful.
Amen.
Do you ever stop to realize that when you wake up in the morning, God was faithful to give you breath while you were sleeping?
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And some of you slept 10 hours, so God was real faithful to you. Amen. God's faithful. Do you realize that when you wake up in that morning, God allowed you to go? Isn't sleep a weird thing? It's weird to sleep if you think about it. We go into this trance for 7 or 8 hours or whatever you'd call it. And suddenly you wake up and you feel more refreshed than you did 7 hours before and you can go another day. It's a creation. Sleep is a creation by God. Amen. There's few of you who experience God's faithfulness right here in church even. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. What I'm saying to you tonight, we serve a faithful God.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I don't always get everything I want from God. I ask God for this. I beg God for something. God never poured it out to me. Now, God never gave it to me. I don't mean He's not faithful, and that don't mean He won't answer that prayer at some point in time. If He's smarter than us and He answers my prayer no, then He's a lot smarter than me. And I can trust Him.
Amen.
Because I know He's faithful.
Amen.
When things don't always look too good, when there's more clouds than there is sunshine in life, and things don't always look great, let me tell you something. That doesn't mean God has lost His faithfulness to you and me. God is still faithful. God is still faithful. And by the way, may I say to you tonight that because He is faithful, we can be faithful. We can be faithful. We can be a faithful people to Him, and He can be because He is always faithful to us. He's always faithful. Now, can I show you a few things tonight that God is faithful in His life? Number one, God is faithful to His promises. God is faithful to His promises. You know, if this old black book says it, you mark it down. It's going to happen. God doesn't speak words that He does not mean. If God promised something, can I tell you what? God will keep His promise. You can rest assured on it. Romans 10, verse 13. You know, God made a promise to you and I. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
That's the promise of God.
Amen.
I got the promise of God tucked in my heart when I was a 13-year-old boy.
Amen.
But you say, can kids be saved? I know I was.
Amen.
I think kids can get saved. Even Timothy, they told him that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He knew it even when he was a child. And by the way, I believe churches need to invest more in children today because there's the future of the church.
Amen.
But God is faithful. God is faithful. I sometimes look at this world and I think, can it get any crazier? Can it get any crazier? But I got news for you. God is faithful to keep His promises.
Amen.
He's going to keep His promise. He made another promise. He said, behold, I come quickly. God said, I'm coming back again. Now, you and I don't know the day and the hour, and we would be fools to predict it, wouldn't we? A lot of people predicted when it would happen, but God never said when it was. But God did say, I am coming back again. And you and I, may I tell you what? He's going to keep that promise.
Amen.
He's going to keep that promise. You say, when's it going to be? I don't know. I wish I knew. So we don't know. But that don't mean his promise isn't faithful. God's promises are faithful. You can trust this old book. By the way, can I tell you what? A lot of people in this world have tampered with that old King James Bible. You know, many of these modern versions today, you wouldn't believe it, but they are translated and brought from corrupt texts. Goes to show you that many men are not faithful. But God said, I'm going to preserve my word.
Amen.
To all generations. The faithfulness of God is seen in this old King James Bible right here. Because God said, I'm going to preserve my word. And God said, nobody's going to touch my word. Thank God he preserved it. He kept it. I can't say that about a lot of these Bibles today. Because a lot of them change the meanings and twist the words around. And by the way, you know, the old devil likes that. If the devil can change the word of God in people's minds, then he can get them to think the wrong things about God. That old devil, he's crafty. He'll use anything he can. But you better remember this, God's faithful. You say, Brother Jeremy, he's in a prison tonight. Yeah, we know his faithfulness. You say, well, God didn't answer his prayer. Hey, let me tell you something. God might have answered his prayer. We don't know. We don't know how God works. But I know one thing, and he knows this too. God is faithful. God's faithful. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I just know who holds it. I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow, but he knows where he's going to be tomorrow. I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing next week, but I know what he's going to be doing next week. He's going to be faithful. He promised it in his word. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his promises. Second of all, God's faithful to his people. God's faithful to his people. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 with me. Just a few pages to the right in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 5. I want to read this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice verse number 24 in your Bibles. I like for you to see it in the Bible. That way you know it came from God. Amen?
Amen.
Notice what it says. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I got news for you. I've been preaching 34 years. 34 years. I know I don't look that old. Thank you. But I've been preaching 34 years. I can tell you, it ain't always been me doing it. In fact, whenever I've done it, I fall flat on my face. But whenever he does it and his faithfulness shows up, and it has for 34 years, thank God for his faithfulness and his goodness. Because he's faithful to those to whom he's called. Hey, if you got a call in your life, he will be faithful to you in that call. Amen. He'll be faithful to you in that call. That's why when things don't always look good, you just keep on hanging in there, because you know one thing, God's going to be faithful.
Amen.
God's not going to leave you out to dry. God's not going to hang you out to dry. He's faithful to his people. Go to Psalm chapter 37. book of Psalms, chapter number 37. I want you to notice this. Notice what God said here. Psalm 37, look at verse number 25. Psalm 37, 25. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Folks, I'm trying to tell you, God's going to be faithful to his people. God's going to be faithful to his people. I'll never forget years ago, one time when we were raising our kids, we didn't have any money and we had some bills to pay. Kind of like y'all, amen. You know, us preachers, we got to pay bills too, unfortunately, amen. We didn't have any money. We took a few minutes, we prayed. We asked God, God, you know our need. An old country boy named Toby pulled up in our driveway right as we were praying. You know, it's funny because for him to get to his house over to where we are, he had to answer our prayer before we even started praying. He got in his old truck. He pulled in our driveway. And he looked at me and he said, God sent me over here, preacher. I said, really? He said, yep. God told me to give you this. Took out three $100 bills. He gave it to us. Amen. You know why? Because God was faithful. Yes. God was faithful. By the way, you know the most wonderful thing about giving what God tells you to give is when you give, God not only blesses you for giving, he turns it back and returns it back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, shall men return unto your bosom. That word return is the promise of the giver. It will return. Amen. I'm saying to you, God's faithful. God's faithful. God doesn't run out of resources. You know, like one preacher said, heaven, there is a, God's got, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said, yeah, preacher, and there's oil in them hills. And some little widow woman in back spoke up and said, there's gold in them hills too. I'm telling you, God's faithful. God will be faithful to you, Christian. Live for him. Give your life to him. Commit your soul to him. Commit your life to him. Too many Christians are living uncommitted today, and they don't always see the faithfulness of God in their life. But God made a promise to us. He said, I have been old, I've been young, and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. God is going to meet the need. He meet the need of the widow. Remember that widow of Zarephath? Remember her? She had just a little bit of cake in the bottom of the barrel, and she told the prophet of God, she said, I'm going to mix that up, put it with oil, bake a cake for me, my sons, and we're going to die because that's all we got. Elijah said, the Lord told me to come to you and bake that cake for me. Isn't that just like a preacher? He wants the food first. Isn't that just like it? He said, bake that cake for me. She did. And you know what she found? She found that there was always something at the bottom of that barrel. God always supplied the need for her and her son. I'll tell you something. There's a God that always supplies the need for the Christian. God will bless you. God will be faithful to his promises. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. Back further from Psalms, back further in the Old Testament, is the book of 1 Samuel. Go back there if you would. 1 Samuel chapter number 12. There's a wonderful verse here I want you to see. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Notice verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. You know that verse saying? God made you, and because he made you, and because you're his child, if you're saved here tonight, you're a child of God.
Amen.
Amen. If you're saved here tonight, you're a child of God. And God says, I made you. I put my eternal life into you. And I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to forsake you because my name is at stake. Amen. You know, I think God is faithful to his name. He's faithful to his name. He doesn't want his name to drop in the mud. He don't want his name. You know, when you get out there and you say, God's going to take care of me, you're putting God's name on the line. Amen. When that neighbor across the street who doesn't know God sees you trusting God, putting your faith in God, and they laugh and they mock. And then all of a sudden, God sends something in your way. God blesses it. God takes care of you. Go back to that neighbor and tell him, look at what God did for me.
Amen.
God is faithful. God is faithful to his people. I'll never forget when I was in Bible college. I was so poor. You know, there is the poverty line, and then below that is the Bible college student. Right? And I was in the Bible college student category, and I had a wreck in my car. And I had a deductible $200. Those were the days, amen. I had a deductible $200 on that car. And I said, Lord, I need that money. And I had scraped and scrimped and got that money because my car had an accident and I had to have the deductible so I could go get my car. And I needed the car to go to work. If I couldn't work, I didn't have any money. You know, it's a vicious circle sometimes, right? And I said, Lord, I had all that money except for $28. $28 short. Man, what can I do? Sell my shoes? Sell my socks? No, nobody wants them. What can I do? I started praying. And I didn't tell anybody I was praying for it. You know, there's a God that sees you in secret. And I said, God, I need $28. And I couldn't get it. $28 was all I could think of. Lord, I need $28. Where am I going to get it? I just prayed. Lo and behold, a guy that was a bus captain of my bus, he came up to me and he said, hey, here's that money I owe you. Now, listen, folks, if a Bible college student pays his debt off to you, you know God did something miraculous. Amen? He said, here's a debt I owed you. Wrote a check out, gave it to me. Guess how much that check was? $28. $28. Now, I don't know if he heard something because I didn't say anything to anybody. But I think God tapped him on the shoulder, said, you better pay your debts, bud. Amen. See, I'm just trying to say God's not going to forsake his people. God's not going to forsake you. You say, it gets hard sometimes. Oh, there's a God who sees that. There's a God who sees that. There's a God who knows that. And Jeremy was telling me today, he said, well, preacher, I don't have anything. He said, but, hey, I know one thing I'm going to eat today.
Amen.
Hey, sometimes even out in the world, sometimes people wonder that.
Yeah.
Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. God is faithful. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his people. Thirdly, he's faithful to our earnest prayers.
Amen.
God hears our prayers. God tells us again and again, ask and you shall receive. You say, preacher, I've asked God, and God never answered that prayer. Well, maybe you quit too soon. You know, the Bible tells us our God delights to answer prayer. And you know what I've learned in prayer? Sometimes prayer God uses to put me in the right position through prayer. Because I know I'm not getting my prayers answered unless I'm right with God. Amen. And you know, there's a lot of people living frustrated. They're not living right with God, and they're praying, and God doesn't answer their prayers. That's because the heart's not right with God. And why would God pour out his greatest blessings when we aren't even right with him? But when we're right with him, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We can go to God, and Lord, I need a prayer. God, help me. God is faithful in our prayers. I'm going to tell you a story about the hitchhiker. A guy named Roger Sims was hitchhiking on his way home May 7th, many years ago. His heavy suitcase made Roger tired. He was anxious to get off his army uniform once and for all. Flashing the hitchhiking sign to the oncoming car, he lost hope when he saw that it was a black, sleek new Cadillac. To his surprise, the car dropped, or the car stopped. The passenger opened the door. He ran to the car, tossed his suitcase in the back, and he thanked the handsome, well-dressed man as he sat in the front seat. He said, "Going home for keeps?" "Sure." After talking about many things, Roger was a Christian, and he began to feel this compulsion to witness to this 50-ish, apparently successful businessman about Jesus Christ. But he kept putting it off till he realized he was just 30 minutes from his home. It was now or never. So Roger cleared his throat. He said, "Mr. Hanover, I'd like to talk to you about something very important." He then proceeded to explain the way of salvation, ultimately asking Miss Hanover if he would like to receive Christ as his Savior. To Roger's astonishment, the Cadillac pulled over to the side of the road. Roger thought he was going to be ejected from the car, but the businessman bowed his head and received Christ with tears in his eyes. "This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me." Amen. 5 years went by. Roger married, had a 2-year-old boy, and a business of his own. Packing his suitcase for a business trip to Chicago, he found the small white business card Hanover had given him 5 years before. And when he got to Chicago, he looked up Hanover Enterprises. A receptionist told him it was impossible to see Mr. Hanover, but he could see Mrs. Hanover. So a little confused as to what was going on, he was ushered into a beautiful office and found himself facing a very keen woman in her 50s. She extended her hand. "You knew my husband?" Roger told how her husband had given him a ride when hitchhiking home after the war. "Can you tell me when that day was?" "Oh yes, it was May 7th, 5 years ago, the day I was discharged from the army." "Anything special about that day?" Roger hesitated. Should he mention giving his witness since he had come so far? Well, he might as well take the plunge. "Mrs. Hanover," he said, "I explained the gospel to your husband. He pulled over to the side of the road and he wept like a baby against the steering wheel that day. He gave his life to Christ that day." Immediately, Mrs. Hanover began to sob. She said, "I prayed for my husband's salvation for years. I believed God would save him, and And said Roger, "Where is your husband, Mrs. Hanover?" "He's dead." She wept, struggling with words. "He was in a car crash after he let you out of the car, and he never got home." You see, I thought God had not kept his promise, she said uncontrollably. "I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought God had not kept his word, but now I realize how faithful God was in his word." I want to tell you something. God's faithful to our prayers. God's faithful to our prayers. We just got to keep on praying. Praying. Lastly tonight, God is faithful to our predicaments. God is faithful to our predicaments. You know, something interesting about the characters in the Bible is you see all these great characters in the Bible in a predicament. Daniel was in a predicament. Joshua found himself in a predicament. Moses went before Pharaoh, led the children of Israel out, and was trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. Predicaments. That's where we find ourselves sometimes. The Apostle Paul would go into a city and preach the gospel, and they'd pick up rocks to stone him, cast him out of the city. What a predicament. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, even the Lord Jesus Christ, what got him to all the way to the cross was this predicament that he declared himself to be the Son of God. And he was. But that put him in a predicament. And because of that, they put him on a cross. You see, it's not unusual for Christians to be in predicaments. What's unusual in the Bible is when you don't see God with them in the predicament. So was God with Daniel in the predicament? Yes, he was. Was God with Joshua? Was God with the Apostle Paul when they stoned him, when they beat him, when they threw rocks upon him? Was God with him? Yes, he was. He'd get to the edge of town, he'd shake off the dust of his feet, and he'd keep right on going because he knew something. He knew God was faithful in his predicaments. You know, sometimes as a Christian, God tells us to do like Roger did. Stick your neck out and witness to that person. Stick your neck out and tell them about Jesus. And sometimes we got to realize God puts us in that predicament, if you will, to teach us he's going to be faithful to us in the middle of that predicament. Years ago, just a 16-year-old boy, 17. My mom wanted me to have braces. I was called to preach, and she said, "You can't be a preacher with crooked teeth." That's what my mom said. "You're going to get braces." "Oh, Mom, I don't want braces." "You're going to get braces." We didn't have an orthodontist where we lived, so I had to drive to Denver, 160 miles, to an orthodontist. And you go down, you know, they tighten them up, and you got to eat nothing but bananas for the next week, and your teeth hurt. But she wanted me to have those braces. We got braces done. Well, come to find out, there was another boy in town, same town that had braces, with the same orthodontist in Denver. And the orthodontist said, "Hey, why don't you two guys carpool and drive down here? And you can drive together." So I was so proud of my 1972 Tornado. Front wheel drive, 454. It more resembled an army tank than anything else. Big old car. We got my 72 Tornado. I met this guy, and us two brace-faced boys got in that car and went to Denver to have our braces worked on by an orthodontist. The Holy Spirit got on me. The whole way down, The Lord was working on me. Talk to him. Tell him about the Lord. I didn't tell him on the way down. On the way back, we're driving through the mountains, and that Holy Spirit began to speak to me again. Knocking on my heart. You know that feeling, don't you? Boy, the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart. He said, talk to that boy about the Lord. And finally, coming down through the Continental Divide, went through that big mile and a half long tunnel, came down on the other side. As we were coming down on the other side, it just came out. And I said, hey, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? I didn't know how to win somebody to Christ. Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? You know what he said? He said, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Now what do you say, right? Ooh. By the way, that doesn't mean you're saved, that's for sure. I said, well, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. You can know Christ as your Savior. You can be saved. And I began to talk to him, Jesus, as we were about Christ, as we're going down that hill on the other side of the Continental Divide. I said, do you want to be saved? Can I pray with you if you want to be saved? He said, yeah, I need to be saved. We pulled into a 7-Eleven right there. That boy, us two brace-faced boys, prayed and he asked God to save him right there. Amen. Amen. See, God put me in a predicament. But he was with us through the predicament. And you know what? For some reason, his mother would never let him drive with me ever again. I don't know why that would be. She never let him ride with me again. But she couldn't take away his salvation. Because God is faithful to keep what we've committed to him. God's faithful. I'm just saying tonight, God's going to be there in our predicaments too. Are you trusting him? His faithfulness is nothing more than a carbon copy of what he wants us to be. Faithful. Faithful to him. God is faithful, and God's going to be faithful, Christian, to you. Let's bow our heads tonight.